There's nothing quite like talking to someone about their passion, whether it's the work they do, a side hustle, or something completely outside the box. I just love hearing people share the things they live and breathe for. Welcome to My Passion Project, the podcast where we do precisely that. One of the things I love about interviewing guests on this podcast is you can approach a subject for which you have very little existing interest and completely change your perspective in the course of just one conversation. That's the power of passion and the power of hearing someone share the things they're passionate for. Motorcycles and racing are not things I ordinarily keep an eye out for, but after hearing this week's guests, I find myself entirely captivated. There's something so electric about hearing people share their passion, no matter the subject area, and I guess there's something a little infectious about it as well. I hope you enjoy this conversation and find it as engaging as I did. Hi there, Jerry. Thanks so much for joining My Passion Project. How are you today?
Hi, Matthew. I am quite excited to be talking to you today about, my passion. Yeah, so thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
It's great to have you here. Well, tell us about your passion then.
Well, Matthew, funny you should ask about my passion. I would say, before telling you specifically what my passion project is that when I dig into certain things, if I like it and I'm interested in the whatever it is, this thing that I'll be working on, I will dig in quite deep and I become passionate. So I've got a few passions. There's only so much time in a day, but I managed to work on a few things. Motorsport is something that I have loved ever since I can remember. My dad took me to a local racetrack way back in 1972. I was maybe seven. I'm bad at math. So I guess I was around 7 years old, and I was first introduced to Formula One race cars and got a chance to get up close and personal with them. And more than the racing, I just love the technology, the science and the mechanics and the smell and the sounds. So as I grew up, of course, Matthew, that it's going to ring true to me anytime I see a motorcycle or some kind of a interesting looking sports car. And I lean towards motorcycles and race cars because they're purpose built. There isn't really any purpose other than fun with racing machines. So that I find that intriguing that human beings can build stuff just to have fun. And these things aren't cheap and it takes a lot of effort. So I love the maintenance and managing machines and specifically motorcycles. I got my first motorcycle. I think I was around 12 years old. And it was a gorgeous little Honda. It wasn't running very well. Well, what does Jerry do? He takes it all apart. And I do this stuff with confidence. That's the weird part. I just have faith in myself. And I say, you know, take this apart. And if something breaks when you're reassembling it, well, you'll figure it out. And it might take a little longer to get it together. But nonetheless, it comes together. So, of course, through the years, my teen years, I've owned several motorcycles and built a few. One in particular I built from scratch and entered into it was a 3-year build and I entered it into a competition, not with intent to do that. I just wanted to build this thing from scratch. I just really enjoy the way they look and just the whole fabrication process. And I entered it into a competition and it won a couple years in a row. But the best part of it is meeting people. You can't do any of this stuff without meeting really interesting people. And I met some really interesting guys who do the same thing. And these are all people from my area. So all of them are pretty well within driving distance or local distance anyway, so I can share, mechanic stories. One of them was an interesting fella. He was an ex-director, television producer type guy.
And yeah.
I had a particular interest in sharing my love for the racing machines. By the way, I love the racing style of motorcycle. I love cafe racers. Harleys are cool too. But specifically the MotoGP style race bikes. I do not race. I've been on the track several times, but I don't race. I don't have the balls to race. I don't have the courage. I know a lot of guys through building my bike, taking it to the track. I met a lot of guys who actually do race. So here's another component of my passion. I love sharing it. I love talking about it. Meeting this fella that was a television producer. There's another passion that I love, and that's sharing my passion and with either motorcycles or cars. So about 15 years ago, I started producing motorsport events, local motorsport events within the city limits. Normally, if you wanted to try racing a motorcycle or a car, you'd have to invest about 2 hours of driving time plus a bit of money. And if you haven't done it before, it's quite a bit of an investment. So what I thought, why don't I introduce people to formula car racing? And I built this little program at a local large parking lot, and it was called Formula X Racer. So I would offer people to come out and try driving these race cars in a parking lot, almost like autocrossing, if you're familiar with that, Matthew. I think in Australia, they have quite a large following for autocrossing, which is simply car racing in parking lots. So what I did, instead of just your standard everyday vehicle, I had a few Formula 2000 race cars. I don't know how deeply you're into motorsports, but they're an entry-level formula car. They kind of look like a mini Formula One for the novice. So I became quite skilled at producing these events. So fast forward to my motorcycle story with these fellas that I met who were building bikes and producing shows, retired. Actually, two of them were retired television producers. One was still current. I came up with a plan for a small event that could be filmed. And before designing this event, it had to qualify as an interesting race process for riders themselves, the actual competitors. I didn't want to design a racing event that wasn't fulfilling for them. And it's got to have all the right elements in it. It's got to have the high stakes. I wouldn't say life or death. I don't like to say that, but it has to be a risky game. So it's entertaining, right? So long story short, I don't know if I'm making it longer than it actually should be, Matthew, but what I did was we generated a treatment with the help of some of my TV friends, which is essentially the premise of what this television show, this event would look like or could be. And it was that was back in 2012. So this is a project that's been on my plate for a little while. And it just takes quite a while because I'm not an industry pro. I'm not familiar with a lot of the people in the industry. And you got to know people in order to get this thing to the television networks. And so what I did was I shot a couple of teasers. I held one event at a local racetrack, and it was the biggest event I have ever held. We had 12 cameras on site. We had drones operating. We had GoPro technicians on the bikes, and we held bracket racing. So it's essentially elimination racing. The difference in this kind of racing is that you only have two motorcycles on the track at once, not a whole fleet of, let's say, 30. If you're a novice enthusiast, an audience member who doesn't really follow much racing, 30 bikes on a track that's at least 4 kilometers long could get maybe a little confusing, or you may not really get the essence of the elements of the racing. Like those big races that are 20 laps long with 30 bikes, the best racing is in the last three laps. So what I did was we created this event. Every race was only three laps long, and it was only two bikes on the track at a time. And the races were like maybe a minute and a half long, and you had many of these races occurring. And of course, you would capture these races, and it's on a short track, so it would lend itself to the director's control. If we put this event on under our own control, in other words, it's not a 30 motorcycle grid event where the racing actually is number one and they wouldn't stop for cameras. I'm sure you've seen some racing in Australia and other parts of the world where you watch the racing and the cameras are just focused on the racing and they don't stop a race for the camera if the director or the producers don't get what they want. In my case, we can, without losing the critical elements of what the racing is about. So it's much like drag racing, but you get the corner for corner battles of road racing blended into one short compact sprint. And you hold a few of these races. And at the same time, you can capture the stories about the riders. These riders are all pros. It's almost like an all-star event. At the end of their season, they'll come out and they race for motorcycle wars. Much like you'd have maybe an all-star hockey game or an all-star basketball game, you have an all-star motorcycle event. And it's quite a bit of fun capturing the stories. The other passion that I would say I have that I love to dig in into is how to tell a good story. That was the last thing I had to develop and understand. After shooting my first event, Matthew, I recognized after editing, incidentally, I'm doing this all on my own budget. This is not my full-time job. So I have to beg and borrow, have to learn my own skill sets. And I developed I need to develop a lot more in the editing area. So after capturing all this footage and making sure I managed the footage well, I had to edit something. I had to tell a story and a video story. And I told it well. I finished the final cut. The show is about 21 minutes long. It hasn't aired yet, but soon. The part that I missed out, and this is my lack of experience, and as an entrepreneur chasing this dream, you know, working with my passion, I missed out something that was so critical, and I'm promised myself and everyone else that's involved in this project now that we're going to capture story. I didn't capture story the first time around. And there's a special way technically how to do that. And I've been doing my studies, and I've practiced as well, but it's one element that is critical for any television or video content anywhere on the planet now with YouTube and Vimeo and all these other platforms to distribute interesting video. I think it's, and I've learned that if you're not authentically telling stories sincerely, you don't have much. Previous event that I was telling you, Matthew, that I did capture, I caught a really good event. Captured the events. It's really interesting. If you love motorcycles, you'll follow it. But if you're indifferent to motorcycle racing, you don't really care, you probably won't watch it. But if I capture story and the people in it, you will watch it for the people. I'm quite confident with that idea. And we're with my team now, we're set up to do that. We're setting up right now for an event, hopefully in September. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place. But we're going to shoot. I think this is going to be my third event. Second motorcycle wars event. And it's going to be shot quite similar, but there's going to be an element of story capturing that's quite technically different on how I do it.
Well, that's very exciting, and people are certainly drawn to stories. It's part of the human condition, isn't it? And I want to touch it on a bit of a theme on your story then, Jerry. So you've had that first experience at 7 years old, falling in love with motorsports and then, you know, tinkering away on your Honda at 12 years. And now as an adult, you're dedicating so much of your time and resources to a show around motorcycle wars. Why do you think you're so passionate about this particular field and those you interact with that share your passion? What's it about motorsports?
That's an awesome question. There's so many elements to how I can answer that. One of them is I'm not satisfied so far with the end goal. What I see in my mind, I haven't reached it yet. I haven't succeeded in capturing that story, packaging what motorsports and motorcycle racing is about. And I think I'm just not finished this project, which I've called Motorcycle Wars. Originally, it was actually called Ultimate Cafe Rider. And through talking to a lot of people, it evolved into Motorcycle Wars, which makes TV sense. But I'm not quite finished this particular project. And when I dig into a project, I like to go to the end, personal satisfaction. And some of that satisfaction comes from the audience saying, yeah, thumbs up, good job, I like what you did. That's when I feel like it's complete, when someone understands, oh, I see what you're trying to do now. I see the end game, because they enjoyed either looking at a freshly fabricated motorcycle at a bike show that, you know, I won an award at. It's a confirmation of sorts, Matthew. Did I answer your question?
You did. And I think there's something special about sharing your passion with others, and you've touched on that, and sharing a passion with other people as well. Do you have a favorite bike, Jerry?
I've got a few. My heart belongs to motocross. Mm-hmm. I'm working in editing suite right now, and it's not too far off from where my motocross motorcycles are. I've got a Yamaha YZ125. If you're familiar with that, I recently freshened it up for the season here in Canada, and it's ready to go. I do love, when it comes to road motorcycles, and of course these things are going to look like race bikes, Ducati makes the most sexy machines that are available on the road. They're beautiful, maybe not the cheapest and maybe not the most reliable, and maybe you got to have a little bit of coin to manage a Ducati, but they are certainly pretty. The Panigale, they're just gorgeous, but there's a whole bunch of them. Aprilia makes beautiful bikes, Kawasaki does, Yamaha, Suzuki, they're all gorgeous machines. I'll tell you what, Matthew, watch any MotoGP race and every single bike on that paddock is what I love. I'll take any one. It's just, that's just the way it is.
What about a favorite racer?
Yes. Well, I'm Italian and I'm proud of it. Born in Canada. My heritage is Italian. Valentino Rossi. He's a good human being and a fantastic racer. So he's what I've grown up with. Now, there are a lot of American racers too. Kevin Schwantz, he was in the 90s. That was kind of my era, where MotoGP, the 500 two-strokes. I love two-stroke. Kevin Schwantz is a guy who I followed back in the 90s. And so great sport.
A lot of things have been obviously impacted by COVID and the pandemic. Some things have surged. We had a loophole in our restrictions that allowed you to golf in Australia, and that saw a lot more people golfing, whereas other industries have really struggled. What's the impact of the pandemic been on motorsports?
That's a great question. I had a chat with one of the guys that owns the probably the largest regional racing in Canada. He owns a program called SOAR, Southern Ontario Associates of Racing. And I asked him that question, how has COVID affected him? Now, initially, when we didn't really know how to manage COVID in the early days, I guess that was back March 2020. That was just rolling into the spring. So they were quite restricted, even though they were in the open area, open air racetracks. It had some effect because a lot of people had less money because they were out of jobs, so they couldn't race on the weekends. I follow the regional racers, Matthew. And so it did have an effect, but it was probably, because it's an outdoor event, it was probably one of the first things that came back early. So motorcycle racing, if you were able, if you were funded well enough, and it takes a few thousand dollars a weekend for these guys to go out and run their show. They kept their distance. They wore their masks. Most of them followed the rules. They were pretty strict. And so it didn't have a major effect on that industry. As a matter of fact, a lot more people actually took to motorcycle racing, maybe in Australia as well. You can't find a used motorcycle anymore. It's just amazing. Everybody started snapping up the motocross bikes. I paid probably way too much for my bike. It was COVID pricing, as they say. Yeah, so a lot more people got into the act of racing. I believe the last 2 years, they've grown. So to answer your question, it's been good for the motorcycle racing scene, the regional scene anyway.
Jerry, if I could ask you, what do you think this passion has taught you, or what have you learned from your passion for all things motorcycles?
Okay, good question, Matthew. And now, like I was saying earlier, my passion is definitely motorcycles and motorsports, but building this project is something that's really important and close to my heart, of course, and it involves motorcycles, so it doesn't seem like work. So to pull off something as grand as a television show, you need to build this teaser. The first show, I had to organize just about 75 people single-handedly, and I'm proud of it. I'm not boasting. I had to do it, and I did it. I organized it, and I could not do it if these people didn't trust me. If I gave them any kind of BS, I didn't keep my promises. If I overpromised and underdelivered, that's a bad mistake to make. You can't piss people off, Matthew. When you're kind of begging and borrowing, looking at volunteers, you got to bring them along with you through the successes. You got to make sure that you make people laugh, make people like you. Don't do anything stupid, and just be happy and just. I really feel that's an important thing. You're not going to work with everybody. You're not going to work well with everyone. That's just the way it is, right? We're all a little bit different. But when you find like-minded people that know a skill set that can help you and they're willing to help, give them whatever you can. If I have the extra cash or if I have the extra barter deal that I can share with them, they'll be there. And don't forget how you, if and when I do succeed with this this television project, and I'm confident I'll get something very close to the success that I'm thinking about. I won't forget anyone who's helped me. Like I've got a list of names, and I just certainly won't forget it. The project right now, the people that are helping me, Matthew and Emily. They know how much it means to me to be sensitive to all the racers that have helped me so far. So when we're preparing our documents that are, you know, public communication, I'm very sensitive to making sure we're saying the right thing, right? I mean, they know their marketing idea. They know their marketing ideas and PR ideas much better than I do. And I'm just a little bit more on the sensitive side to the people. And they appreciate that. And I mean, who wouldn't? We all want to have a good time. We want to have fun. Nobody wants to get hurt. And nobody wants to get ripped off or pissed off. And let's all be happy and enjoy what we're doing. You know, that's kind of my philosophy, Matthew, when it comes to what I think is important there.
There's something special about joining with like-minded and passionate people. They're really your tribe and community. And I had a chance to look at your teaser overnight, and it was so awesome to see, Jerry. And you could just tell the people involved had a lot of fun doing it as well.
Oh, that's great, Matthew. Anytime I hear that, it's reassuring. It gives me that extra energy to keep going.
No, you're welcome. The other thing I took a look at, I saw this beautiful quote by Lawrence Fishburne that when you're on a motorcycle, you can't really think about more than where you are. There's a freedom that comes with that from not sweating the small stuff. When you work with so many racers, do you think there's something of that and what drives them when they're getting on the bike?
Matthew, you hit the magical note, man. There's the storytelling. I sat with a 63-year-old man about 4 years ago at Grand Bend. This is before understanding how important story was. And I asked him, his name was Gareth, an awesome guy. I asked him, a lot of these guys that I speak to that are now retired, they've all been racers. Just to bring up another point, I've already made it clear that I do not race motorcycles. So it really is intriguing to me to understand what these guys are doing the last 2-3 laps out of a 25-lap race. And they're going side by side with their competitors. And these guys are doing like 150 miles an hour going into turns. And all of them have crashed at one point in their lives. So what are they thinking? What is the driving force for these guys to risk life and limb? What are they thinking about in that moment? They're going to make that final pass to take the checkered flag or to take the final run to the final straightaway. These bikes are not stable at 150 miles an hour. So they're drifting and they're literally like floating, hydroplaning as they're drifting through a turn. And they just understand how to manage this machine that's attached to the road with barely any friction. They are literally thoughtless. They're just feeling it through. There's no thought about life and limb. There's no thought about getting hurt. There's no thought about family and friends. It's just something that they're doing, and they've done it so many times, they understand how to do a micro adjustment of the throttle so that the front end doesn't wash out, or that the back end of this bike that's doing 150 miles an hour in a turn doesn't, destroy them. They just want to continue standing on the asphalt and get to the checkered flag. And there's no thought that's what one of these guys was telling me. There's very little that they're thinking about except the win, the big W. And that's awesome to me.
It's a real special skill. Jerry, is there any advice you'd offer to others that have their own passion project or a particular passion for motorsports?
I wish some people would have told me the ideas that, or at least given me confidence. When you have something that you really like to do, let it flourish, let it flower. Don't be afraid of taking the risk and going where your heart is. If you love doing something, it's not work. You'll be exhausted, but it's just amazing how much energy you can have if you gain little pieces each time you're trying to accomplish something that is within your passion. Maybe it's just to build a bike from scratch. Keep the end in mind and don't piss people off. If you need help from people, make sure you keep them happy and make them like you.
Good advice for a passion project and good advice for life as well, I think. Jerry, thanks so much for joining my passion project.
Matthew, it was a pleasure. I love talking about stuff like this.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe or share. I'd love if you could leave us a rating or review wherever you download your podcasts. And if you or someone you know has a passion worth sharing, be sure to get in touch at www.mypassionprojectpodcast.com.